Good morning, church family. Not good enough. Something that I think everybody, if they'll be real, struggles with from time to time. Before we get started, let's have a quick word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, please use me today. Take over my voice. May it be your word. Take over all of our ears, including my own, so that we may hear something that you have to say to us. Thanks for sending your son to die for us. In your holy name, amen. Isaiah 6, 1-8. In the year of the king Ezra died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood six angels. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the angels flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it, and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged." Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." How many of you here watch the TV show Ellen? All right, got a few honest people. The background of this clip that I watched one day was about a lady named Gladys. Gladys had wrote into the Ellen show to complain about the flowers and the plants and where they were placed on the set. This kind of made Ellen a little interested, and she wondered who this Gladys lady was. Of all things to complain about, flowers and plants on a set. So she called, one day Ellen called Gladys from the TV show, while taping the TV show, and started asking her some questions. First she asked her, "Are you a TV producer, a set designer?" "No," said Gladys. Then she said, "Okay, do you grow plants?" "No," said Gladys. But then she continued talking and she said, "But I love Jesus, but I drink a little." I have no idea why Gladys answered that way. Ellen hadn't said anything at all about God. "I love Jesus," she said, "but I drink a little." When I saw this clip, I started thinking about my life and her statement. "I love Jesus, but I drink a little." And as I began to think about it, it started to dawn on me. You know, there's a lot of truth in this statement for a lot of people, including myself. Sometimes there's this type of thing. "I love Jesus, but..." How about you? Do you have some of this in your life as well? Maybe for some of you it's, "I love Jesus, but I like to talk behind other people's backs." Or maybe it's, "I love Jesus, and sometimes I use my words to hurt people." This next one's kind of easy to think about. "I love Jesus, but I cheat on my taxes." Or maybe, "I love Jesus, but I just don't like myself." As I was thinking about this, I thought about a young lady that worked for me. That her name was Rebecca, and her and I had a lot of conversation starting about 15 years ago. Rebecca had been sexually abused as a child, first by her father. The state removed her from the home, and she lived with her grandparents. for it to continue on with her grandfather. Eventually, she went to foster home and foster home and aged out of those homes and lived on her own and always had many horrific relationships, usually with considerably older men than she was. She told me a lot of stories that I wouldn't repeat in a setting like this, but to say the least, she had a horrific life. It was so bad, she didn't even care if she lived. She didn't care if she existed. And she was an atheist. She told me that if God could let her live a life like this, she didn't want to have anything to do with them. When I heard that, what do you say to that to somebody, you know? Very difficult. I told her that I believe God loves her, and that he sent his son to die for her. But I don't blame her for thinking that way. I'd probably think the same way if I lived her life. And then I told her, you know, clearly you know there's a bad in the world. There's probably a good too. And that was kind of it for that day. I'll talk more about it in a few minutes. In our scripture passage for this morning, we see Isaiah struggling with the problem of, I'm not good enough. And many of us, like Isaiah, often feel a sense of low or no self-worth. We might think, who am I that God would want to send me somewhere? I can't share the message of hope with others. I have no hope myself. I'm not good enough. I'm in bondage and I can't set myself free. See, we all mess up sometimes. Whether it's lashing out to a friend, engaging in self-destructive behavior, you name it. And often with these mistakes come an overwhelming feeling of guilt, shame, self-condemnation, even humiliation. Too often we punish ourselves for our past mistakes, as if we could somehow make up the wrong we have done on our own. How many of you have seen usually a man carrying a cross down the road somewhere in the country? And usually if you talk to them, they think somehow they're making up for some kind of sin, and if they carry this long enough, God will finally forgive them. But all of us do that in our own way. This may cause us to walk through each day feeling less than. We might call ourselves losers, no good, or unlovable. You know, counselors and life coaches report that the hardest person to forgive is ourselves. Not the friend that backstabbed us or stole from us. Not the dad that wasn't there for us, or maybe worse, like Rebecca's dad. Or the ex that broke our heart. Holding on to a feeling of self-condemnation can lead to stress, depression, anxiety, and even heart disease. Not to mention it keeps us from doing what God created us to do and being all that God created us to be. The first 8 verses of Isaiah 6 describe one of Isaiah's best-known visions. Isaiah was summoned to the throne of God and overcome by awe and terror. The differences were so bright there. You see, God was holy. Isaiah is not. This realization hit Isaiah with overwhelming force. Woe to me, cries Isaiah. I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. How many of us would be terrified to be caught in this same situation? Would we feel ruined if we were to stand before the throne of God? A campus minister once held a series of meetings with students on campus. The topics ranged all across the spectrum, but all the students agreed on one thing. God was extremely disappointed in them. The students shouldn't believe the lie, and neither should we. In reality, God loves every single one of us more than we could possibly imagine, just the way we are, no matter what. How do we know this? Well, it's quite simple. The Bible tells us so. Clicker was working out. For God's love the real that he gave his one and only son. Another one. A back. This is how we know that what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. God is love. There is no fear in love. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 that it is by grace that we have been saved, through faith, and not from ourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works. And in Hebrew it says, let us approach the throne of God, grace, with confidence. What an amazing God we have. No matter what we have done, no matter where we have been, even through faith in Christ, little old me and you can approach the holy throne of God with confidence. There's something we need to all understand. There's nothing in the world we could possibly do to make God love us more. And there's nothing we could possibly do to make God love us less. Back to Rebecca. Over the next couple of years, she told me many similar stories during many similar conversations. I always just listened and often cried with her no more. One day she came to my office and she asked me, hey, can I ask you a question? I told her, sure, but why are you asking permission? We've talked many times. She said, well, this time it's personal. I thought to myself, that's interesting. What could possibly be more personal than what she's told me before? But I listened. She asked me that day if I would pray for her. That moment I said yes and started to cry. She wanted me to pray that she'd be open to God. She said the prayer I prayed with her that day, asking God to show her a better way and to come into her heart, that he sent his Son to save her too. After we prayed, I gave her a hug and I told her that God loves her and so do I. And I gave her a great controversy. That day, I truly believe that she gave her life to God. She was nowhere near perfect. She kept having crazy things happen. She kept doing things I would consider wrong for me to do. But with her background, I was never surprised, and I believe God has a way of looking past certain things and certain situations. That day, Rebecca learned that she too was good enough. In our scripture lesson for this morning, Isaiah did nothing to save himself. Instead, God did the saving. God sent one of his angels to Isaiah with a live coal in his hand. With it, he touched Isaiah's mouth and said, see, this has touched your lip. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Then Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And instead of saying, I'm not good enough, Isaiah said, here I am. In me. God's love and God's grace not only allows us to know we are forgiven, but allows us to learn to forgive ourselves, and then gives us a reason to live, a calling, a mission for God. That's right, God has created us all for a purpose. And God saves us to fulfill that purpose. Ephesians 2 tells us we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We all make mistakes. None of us are perfect. You know, none of us are really even up for the job, but God calls us anyway. God chooses us anyway. And if we allow God, God will do great things with our life. There's a story told about a mother who very badly wanted her son to become a great piano player. She often thought about how she could get him to become a great piano player and decided to take him to a concert with the greatest player in the world was playing. And maybe he would get the dream of doing that too. They got to the concert early and got to their seats close to the front. And the mother looked around and saw an old friend and started talking to the old friend, not really paying attention. Soon she noticed the concert hall was full of people and went to sit in her seat and noticed that her son was gone, missing. Wondered, where in the world did he go? I can't possibly find him. The concert's about to start. And she began to look up front and saw that he was beginning to climb on the stage. She was stuck in her seat, basically. People around couldn't get up there in time to stop him, didn't know what to do. By this point, the auditorium was packed. The little boy continued to climb up onto the stage, and he walked right up to the piano and sat down and started to play Twinkle Twinkle Little Star right there on that piano. The entire auditorium began to giggle and laugh. At that moment, the great piano player walked out from behind the curtain and reached the little boy and put his right hand around him and began to fill in the notes. Then he took his left hand and helped the little boy play Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. The next thing you know is that the beautiful sound fills the auditorium as folks rise to their feet in awe. We don't have to be some great, grand piano player. God's forgiveness, love, and unmerited grace is more than enough to turn our fear of the holy God into a love for God and ourselves and our neighbor. A love that spurs us onto service and fills our life with great meaning and joy. If we allow God to control the show, pretty soon our feeble attempts in this life will bring forth great big results for God's kingdom. About a month ago, I watched a video on YouTube that was kind of the inspiration behind this sermon. And God doesn't make trash, and we're going to share that video with you now. And in place of having a closing song, the video is a little bit long, so I apologize for that. But I think it shares a message that needs to be heard. Thank you.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, His masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't really see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso. It's like, but I want to be His masterpiece. I want to be everything He created me to be. And so I go to Him in prayer and I say, Dear Heavenly Father, do whatever it takes to mold me into the image of Your Son. Make me Your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi.
Whoa. Who are you?
I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am.
You're not God.
No, I am. You said the prayer. That's how it works.
Okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? I really don't want to make it snow in here because it'd get kind of yucky.
Yeah, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is only 5 chapters. It's a very short book.
Oh, why was it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh, okay. If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
I'm really not into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
Well, gave it away.
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yeah, I do that, don't I? I did it again. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, what are we doing?
I'm going to make you into my original masterpiece. This is the process.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Wait. What are these about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Okay. Yeah. Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, hey, God.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know what to chisel away and what to leave?
I take out everything in your life that doesn't belong there, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of dead weight, could you chisel right here? It showed up when I was in my 20s and grew around and became back fat. I don't even know why you created that, but I can't get rid of it. I mean, I've tried everything. Like, I tried running, I tried lifting weights. My wife actually talked me into trying Pilates. That was awkward. But I can't get rid of it. So if you would just chisel around here, and then, you know what, if you chisel a line right here and maybe 4 to 5, maybe 8 lines right here, that would be awesome.
You're funny.
You made me that way.
I also made the platypus.
The platypus.
All I'm saying is most of my children, when it comes to this process, they just want to talk, but they don't want to do the work. So do you want to talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel,
no,
talk,
no,
chisel.
No. I choose to chisel.
All right. Through my Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring up things in your life that I want you to work on. Like your anger. I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrong way. Compare yourself to others instead of me. You tell little white lies because you want to people please. You're lazy. But you try to fool everybody by looking really, really busy. You have a problem with lust? Well,
time out. I don't really have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust?
No, I can do it anytime I want. Hang on a second. I mean, I got to admit, I feel like you've been doing some great work, and I'm looking pretty good right now.
All right, when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away because ultimately you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, don't misunderstand me. It's just when I look more like Jesus, people get uncomfortable around me. I mean, even my church friends, and they're like, oh, you're holier than thou, you know? And I don't think I'm supposed to make people uncomfortable.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
That is not what I said.
It's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. You know everything that I'm thinking. I'm just saying you've done some great work. Maybe we take a break, a sabbatical from each other, you know. I'll stay right here and then, you
know. That's just it. You never just stay right there. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but never you just stay. What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things in your life or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control,
chisel. No, chisel, chisel.
All right.
But can we chisel where I want?
That's called control.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Now this right here, this secret sin that you keep running to whenever you're hurting, angry, lonely, tired, that you think you're fooling everybody, but it's making you a whitewashed tomb. Are you ready for me to chisel this out of your life?
Yeah.
See, it's a process. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's your whole life. And you care so deeply about what other people think of you. It's rubbish, it's garbage. The greatest thing you're ever going to hear is at the end of your life when you hear me say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what you keep your eye on. That's the prize, heavenward.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh, trust me, this hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't think you understand this pain.
Pardon me?
You're asking me to sacrifice a lot, God.
Don't talk to me about sacrifice. I know all about sacrifice. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you've been doing for years, these empty wells that don't have anything to offer. You've been going to them and it's insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life. Allow me to produce character where you keep focusing so much on your image.
Okay, but I was thinking.
Your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Okay, but if we went another way.
Your ways are not my ways.
Oh, I can't.
You can't what?
I can't be good.
That's your excuse. That's your excuse is that you can't be good.
It's not an excuse. I can't.
Oh, my child. In the beginning, I said it was good. I made you good. Be good.
Yeah, but you and I both...
What?
Nothing.
No, what is it?
Nothing, okay? You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just, I let you down so many times, God.
No, my child. You were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand. Never the other way around. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Okay. And chisel away. Just be prepared for what you're going to find in there. Because I know who's inside there. Because I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror, and I hate who I see. Because deep inside there, this little kid who gets up every morning and dresses like an adult. And I go out and I try to do what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, okay? I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. And so inside is this scared, stupid little kid. But you chisel away, just... be prepared.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that were not from me. And you have totally bought into the lie, haven't you? You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night after you've done the dance to get the hug, you think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't take time to make junk. How can I show you that my love for you stretches as far as the east to the west? How can I show you that my love for you has no end? I know. Reach in your back pocket.
What?
Reach in your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, God.
Yes?
I just meant, God, I'll do that right now.
You're just saying my name in vain.
Come on. It's a name. It's a saying.
It's a name above all names. It's more than a saying. It's more than a name. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, my God.
You know what that is?
Yeah, it's a note. I wrote it when I was in college. How did you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
I love Angie.
Other side.
Sorry. Dear God, did I hear you right today? Did I hear you say that you love me? Even though you and I both know I've messed up so many times. Did I hear you say you want to use me? And I feel so useless. If you'll take me and use me, then God, I give you all that I am. Take me. I love you, God.
I love you too. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. This salvation that you hold, I don't want it to be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And when problems come and chaos happens, don't look at that as a prison, but look at it as a father disciplines his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, but you bought into the lie thinking everything was going to be easy when you gave everything over to me. There will be trouble in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want you to do something. I want you to look out there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God's...
No, not the way you see yourself or you try so desperately for others to see you, but maybe for the first time in your life, the way I see you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.